Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Power to Be You and Rise to Win for our youth movement listeners. I am Sandra Bueno, and I am coming to you live from West Palm Beach, Florida. And the purpose of this show is to bring awareness, race awareness, for those individuals, leaders, authors, motivators, visionaries who are stepping up and making a difference for our youth. And today's guest is a very special guest because this is an individual, a person who really truly is leading across this landscape in Florida, making a difference for youth and really creating a lot of energy and synergy within the community with what he represents and the organization that he has founded. And what I'd like to begin with is to give you a brief background on his bio so you can get a feel for his background, where he truly comes from, and, of course, the effect that he is having. Mr. Ivensky, David Ivensky, is a principal and the executive vice president of business development and chief marketing officer at Ivensky & Katz. Before joining the firm, he was registered as a representative at AXA Financial, where he specialized in small business financial planning and risk management. His responsibility at Ivensky & Katz includes business development, community outreach, and client liaison. Mr. Ivensky graduated from the University of Maryland with a BBA in 1991, and he is also the founder of the Motivated Youth Program, former Youth for Tomorrow, with Matt McGrath, Chief Planning Officer and Principal at Ivensky & Katz. Now, he is also a partner with the Coral Gables Community Foundation and the University of Miami. To continue with Mr. Ivensky's background is truly amazing because Mr. Ivensky has been involved with so many different community organizations. And when we speak about Motivated Youth Program, we will be able to really understand the extent of what this is. So, David, I welcome you on Power to Be You. Thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for having us the opportunity, Sandra. I appreciate it.
Well, it's a lot. It's, you know, I'm very excited about bringing you on board because what you are doing is you have already begun a foundation, you have started a program, and you have really gone into an area and a sector where I believe there is so much potential for what youth can really undertake and how we can really create something bigger than what we have created. Now, can you start sharing, you know, what you founded and the purpose for why you began?
Absolutely. We have a wealth management firm, and about 4 years ago, we had a number of our clients come to us and just ask us to do some programming for their kids and grandkids, really try to discuss philanthropy as a family, and also give them some background on just some basic financial planning issues. So 4 years ago, we started a program called Youth for Tomorrow. We got some of our clients' kids and grandkids in a room on a Saturday, and we reached out through the Coral Gables Community Foundation, which is a partner of ours in this endeavor. And they always get grants from local charities that based or affected children's issues in our community. Some of the beginning ones were, you know, Junior Orange Bowl, Kids Hope United, Shake a Leg, all affecting kids and kids issues in the city of Miami or Dade County. We linked these kids together, and we gave them the opportunity to get a one- or two-page grant from these charities, and we got them into a room. We had the opportunity of having them break up. We had each one of them take a community partner, one of the non-for-profits, the charities. We let them break into a group and decide how they were going to advocate for the particular charity they were assigned. They were able to go ahead and review the grant, which is something that, as a businessman and a business person in the community, you know, I often see people and charities, you know, kind of solicitation letters and grant proposals come across my desk, and all of them are very worthwhile. The problem is the funding. And like any business or any sort of organization that helps non-for-profits, you have to go through a number of great programs and then really pick which ones that, unfortunately, you can only fund so many of them. And we wanted these young adults to have the same opportunity to have to make some tough decisions. The non-for-profits came just as support and dropped off their marketing materials, some of their budgets, a synopsis of how they impact the community, and, of course, this grant. So the students were able to advocate for the grant, stand up in front of the rest of the class, and pretend that they had to pitch, you know, a corporate entity and try to get funding for this particular non-for-profit. It was an amazing program. The first year we had about 20 people come in, and they really enjoyed it. And over the course of the year, we wanted to really open this up for not just our clients' kids and grandkids, but really figure out a way to help affect some of the children and some of the high schoolers in our community. When we first started, we were using both college age and high school students. We realized that their levels were a little bit too far apart. And what we decided to do is I reached out to another, you know, our firm, part of me, is based in Coral Gables, and that's where we use the Coral Gables Community Foundation. I think it's very important to leverage, when you're starting a grassroots organization, to leverage some of the partners in your community that also have like-minded initiatives and programs. So the Coral Gables Community Foundation is our gift trust through our firm. We raise money through our golf tournament and other sort of ways to do some fundraising. And then we allocate those funds through the Coral Gables Community Foundation and let the non-for-profits go ahead and benefit from that. Well, we reached out after the second year to University of Miami, which is also located in Coral Gables. Excuse me. We wanted to now focus on high school students and really use the college students to be able to mentor those high school students. So the goal is really to encourage, inspire, educate, and motivate the youth in our community to participate in local charities, and also to instill a sense of community responsibility, philanthropy, and altruistic awareness at an early age. And what we've done with the University of Miami, and they have been an absolute gracious, wonderful partner to us. The last 2 years, and this year coming up, our program is March 28th. And also, if you let me plug the website, it's motivatedyouth.org. And you can, everyone who's listening can go ahead and go to that website and see what charities we're working with. I'd like to name them later. And also, the date of that event will be March 28th at the university. And we wanted to, at first, we also wanted to be concentric, and I reached out to Coral Gables Community High through their service programs. And we've got their honor program and their Rotary program. And they were the last year participants from a local high school and also a high school, Gulliver, which is down in the south part of the city of Miami. We realized that we really wanted to open this up to lower socioeconomic schools and some students and high school students that might not have the opportunity to participate in a program like this. So this year we're very proud to have South Miami participating high school, as well as Northeastern and Edison High School in Miami, which are, you know, in some of the tougher neighborhoods, and really give these young adults a chance to go ahead and interact with a great university in town, and also meet other students from all over the community that might come from entirely different backgrounds than themselves. I'm sorry, please, go ahead.
No, what I wanted to say is I am just so, you know, I'm moved because you have just, in very brief moments, you have been able to explain a strategy, you have been able to explain a sequence, and something that has already been created, that where I'm looking and focusing at a grassroots community endeavor, here is a model that you have built that now people can piggyback on and either create something of equal stature down in other areas of their life across the country, or actually, you know, align with yourself and, like you say, leverage. It's not about restarting over, but it's about taking where it's at or where we're at and then moving forward. And you have just proved it in a very brief minutes, because it's a lot of people are looking, okay, how can I help? How can I, you know, how can we make a difference for our youth? How can we partner together with different organizations? And like you mentioned, right now with the money and the situation as it is, a lot of people are looking more at issues rather than looking at the solutions that are available.
That's entirely the case. And let me stress again what you just mentioned. When you start any sort of grassroots organization, and before this I started a young professional network in 2001, and the reality is just look around your community. There's always organizations, different programs or community that are looking for not only the dollars, and let me also stress this, but sweat equity as well. And I think that's just as important as some of the funding. Most of these ideas and these programs just get kicked off by people that are motivated and driven and want to really make an impact on their community. So by reaching out to local community foundations, to local charities that you work with, and most of the charities that we work with, almost all of them, are all based within probably 10 miles of my office, because you really want to make an impact on where you are, in your community. And really, by reaching out to those different partners, you can find the leverage and the organizational structure to go ahead and drive your program in a much more successful event or whatever kind of programmatic issues that you're adopting. Go ahead, Sandra.
You felt it. You sensed it. No, what I wanted to ask you is, what do you attribute the success of this movement or of this program that you've initiated? What would you say is the long-term success, or, you know, what can you really credit with that ability for it to be a program that started and now has developed and has gotten to where it is now?
That's a great question, and this is our fifth year of doing this, and last year I think we had 120 participants up from 20, and this year we're shooting at 500 between the college and high school age participants. And what I think makes it successful is ownership. When we get these young adults into the room, and they have their particular charities that they're advocating for, our gift fund gives them kind of funny money. We just print out, you know, out of our printer here at the office, out of our Xerox machine, we print fake dollar bills, you know, $10, $15, $20 bills. And so at the end of the afternoon on a Saturday, the program goes from 10 o'clock till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The last hour, after everyone's presented and advocated for particular non-for-profit partners, we pass out this kind of funny money, but it's actually real money from our gift trust, and we have ballot boxes for each of the different non-for-profits, and we let these students actually go ahead and take their money and vote with their wallet, with the gift fund's wallet, which charity is going to have the allocations. So not only do the students get to advocate and stand up in front of a group and decide how they're going to be presenting this to the rest of their peers, but at the end of the day, that they get to become the decision maker and actually take these dollars that were given to our gift fund that we've raised from fundraising and actually put that to work and issue those checks that very afternoon to the non-for-profit partners that we have.
So would you say, one of the things that I did read on your in the website was the word democratic, and now that you've explained it, I realize that when they take this funny money, they are actually allocated real dollars to a specific organization based on what the organization provided them with. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And when we have the organizations at the university be able to set up tables in the back of the room, but we made it very clear that the executive directors and other people, they're all wonderful, driven people, by the way, that really care about their issues is one thing that I've understood. And we let them drop off the materials and kind of give a brief overview, and then we ask them to go back to their tables in the back of the room because we really want the young adults to understand this process and put out what their message should be, how they'd advocate for the particular issues in that community. So we really just let the students have the ownership of it. We let the non-for-profits kind of give them a little bit of a nudge. But we really ask them at that point, once they've delivered their materials, their budgets, their statements on impact, we let them kind of back up and we let the students really engage it. The college students act as mentors, so they help the table of 10 or 12 high school students decide who's going to be the presenter. Sometimes it's one of them, sometimes it's all of them. And it's very creative what these young adults do. And it's also it's a very sobering experience as well. Last year, one of my clients unfortunately had his daughter pass away from a very rare cancer, and this group of students decided to stand up, and one of them pretended they had this particular disease, and what they went through, maybe some being ostracized by the community, not understanding some of the medical issues, and literally, you know, half of the audience was brought to tears by some of the presentations that they do. So I think it's a really interesting, worthwhile endeavor to have the participants in any program, any grassroots organization, really have, again, stress the ownership part of that. Very often, you know, I was a younger man getting involved in philanthropy, and you'd go to board meetings or get involved in programs, and everything was kind of already set for you, and there wasn't much room to have creativity in that. And so I think why this program seems to be taking off, and again, we're still building this, and we're still very proud about the growth of this program, but I really think that by giving people the opportunity to work in a group dynamic, and then go ahead and really see their actions that day result in some tangible results, and that would be the funding, I think it gives them the real empowerment to want to go out in their community and start other kind of issues like that and address other issues in their community.
Now, with the youth that work, the high school youth who are in this, who basically get involved, are they also continuing on a program, or do they become outreach advocates, or do they actually go and volunteer with the organizations that now they have highlighted?
That was part of a wonderful result of this program. If I could kind of maybe just have an opportunity to talk about our partners this year, we're working with Miami Children's Hospital, Make-A-Wish Foundation, the local chapter, Margot's Miracle Foundation, which was that foundation about the rare cancer, Shake a Leg, which is a wonderful charity down here in Coconut Grove that helps disabled people and people in wheelchairs with cerebral palsy actually get to do what all of the rest of us do and take for granted, you know, hop in a small little boat and get out on Biscayne Bay. It's a wonderful charity. It's really near and dear to my heart. The Christie House, which is located down in downtown by Jackson Memorial, and that addresses children's sexual abuse. Neat stuff. The Coral Gables Community Foundation, obviously our partner. The Friendship Circle, which is an autism outreach, Kids Hope United, which is a foster care program, and this year we've added a couple new Lighthouse for the Blind and the Thomas Amore Youth Ballet.
I'm looking at the Community Partners form right now, and I'm on this side looking at you and seeing the similarities that exist, you know, between your program and what I have actually been looking to bring about. And here you show up with a plan where I'm able to see, like, okay, you know, here are people who are stepping up to make a difference. Like you said, you mentioned, you know, sweat equity, and the leveraging, creating partners, you know, and raising awareness for these individual organizations who are all doing an amazing part in life to make a difference for our youth. So, you know, I'm just like, I'm so amazed because you to me are a role model and a mentor. And I am, you know, I just feel so fortunate to be able to have crossed paths, because you are already, you know, you're creating even a bigger picture of what is possible when people come together and really impact, you know, with the philanthropy, which I believe it is the way that we can really generate change within our at-risk youth primarily, because through that, they will be able to step up and say, you know what, I can actually help someone. I am someone, and I can take action, and I can create results. What better way to encourage a young person to move out of where they are than to show them a vision that's bigger than them?
Well, we think so, too. And just for all the listeners, is that you and I have just met because of this, and now we're talking about doing some collaborations. So you never know when you're going to meet like-minded people like ourselves that can go out and help promote some of these issues. I had all of the heads, the executive directors of the charities I just mentioned, to a luncheon before the program just to talk about this year's program. And some of them started standing up and saying, you know what, we got 20 volunteers a month after we had your program last year from the university. Which is just amazing. This year, the university had a wonderful idea. We wanted to start working with basically freshmen and sophomores, so we could have those freshmen and sophomores then go through the entire 4 years of participating in this program. And you know, I can't say enough about the University of Miami, their Butler Leadership School the Butler Leadership School, and they have assigned a couple of students permanently to work on this program, and they're going to start assigning a group of students from the leadership program there at the university to start taking ownership of this program and helping it out through the entire year. So we're discussing right now about taking throughout the year a busload of college students to actually go on site and see these non-for-profits, which is the best way to encourage volunteerism and really, you know, motivate the people to become involved with that. So the synergy that's become between the high school students, the non-for-profits, and the university is something that's really seeing some significant impact. And again, when I was with these executive directors and they say, you know, after last year's program, we have all these volunteers that are showing up from university, I mean, that's the sweat equity we talked about. And that you're really impacting people's lives by taking a Saturday off, you know, an evening off, and helping these non-for-profits that are really desperate for bodies to go ahead and help them with their endeavors and help their programmatic issues. One thing we'd like to do, and it's kind of a dream out there in the future, but right now this is a program. It's not its own non-for-profit. We use the Corrugated Sweeney Foundation, which is a 501c3, and all the monies are funded through that program. And I was talking to Keith Fletcher, who's been an amazing partner at the university. And the next couple of years, we want to maybe have the college students turn this program into their own 501c3. And it would be quite an educational experience. It'd have to partner off with their law school and have people design the documents and the bylaws to have something like that happen. But I would be absolutely thrilled to have this particular program turn itself into its own 501c3 by the actual people that have participated in the last couple of years. So there's always room for some amazing growth, and by co-opting people that have a vested interest in it, I think you can really, you know, really help your program, really help your grassroots organization grow and establish some really great contacts throughout the community.
I love what you just said, because really you know, looking at college kids turning this into their own 501c3, which this is the vision for the new generation, the new millennium, you know, the new world, what needs to take place is starting young, you know, starting with bringing in the awareness of who and what we can create and what we can instill in our youth. And like you said, you know, right now you're looking at high school students who have gotten involved, and you're looking even going further down. And I see the possibilities that you bring up with being able to partner up and also with being able to leverage the resources and the education and the programming. But I'm going to play the devil's advocate right now. And it's not a surprise, only because I know that this is an awareness, and this is where you can really shed a lot of light and possibly hope a lot, what you have on with your background is that you have experience within the financial sector. You know, you are a person who comes, I mean, you've worked on so many different boards. You know, you're definitely a person who is out there creating change, and you have results to prove it. A lot of people who want to make a difference and who want to step out, and they say, look, I see this need, but people aren't going to take me seriously. Organizations aren't going to take me seriously. Foundations, you know, the heads of these foundations, they're not going to really take on my project because it doesn't have the financial backup or it doesn't have that awareness. What can people who fall on that angle do? What can you say?
Sure, and that's a great question, by the way. You know, I've been out and through the community, and sometimes everything isn't a great fit. And first of all, the first thing is don't become discouraged. Not every non-for-profit will be the good strategic alliance for you. Not every foundation will be a great strategic alliance. And, you know, maybe not the school system or the university. However, and I really need to stress this, like in anything in life, you need to keep on going and keep moving because there are going to be the right fits out there in your community. So keep on looking, and eventually you're going to find someone that has the same need and the same desire for that person and that sweat equity to be established for their programmatic effort. The second part of it is again what we discussed before, is to leverage, is to really get out there and find organizations, foundations that their initiative is doing these kind of programs. So they're going to be coming with you with open arms. Secondly, in the fundraising aspect of it, is people, you can start off if you're looking to do grassroots without having big wallets and opening up your own you know, wallet to go ahead and fund some of these things. I'm a chair of this walkathon we're having on Sunday for the Friendship Circle, one of our charities on our platform. And again, we have to be a fiduciary for your not-for-profit when you're working for them. And we were talking about the budgets for going out and purchasing water and other things for these events. Well, we just went down to a local Publix in Coral Gables and just asked for one of the managers there. A manager came out 2 minutes later. We explained to him what the program was. He says, you know what? He goes, you know, we have budgets to do this stuff all the time. No one asks us. And they ended up giving us $500 of water just as a donation. I remember I sat on the hospital board down on one of the part of the beaches of Miami, and there's a larger hotel in Miami Beach, and we were doing our big fundraiser, and that's helped support people that are indigent coming into the hospital. And of course, Miami Beach is an international city. You know, people come from all over. They get hurt jet skiing, doing whatever they might be doing, and the local hospital there has to subsidize costs if some of these people don't have insurance. Well, we went out to just one of the local hotels on Miami Beach and kind of told them our story, told them how much that we have to subsidize. It was, I think that year it might have been $19 million to the people that come and actually their clients that we're servicing. Well, this manager of this hotel said, you know what? He gave us an envelope. We opened it up. It was a $10,000 check. And we said, well, my gosh, you know, you've been in this community for quite a long time, and so have we. He goes, no one's ever come and asked. So I want to really stress that most people are extremely charitable and would love to participate and help give you these silent auction items that you can raise for money, help give you those donations, things that you can bring to an organization and make an impact without having to open up your own wallet, you know, because obviously people have families. The first priority is your family. So there's a lot of ways to go out there, and just by asking, if you just take a stroll down a mall and go into each store, out of 10 stores, probably 5, 6, or 7 of them are going to tell you, you know what, no one's really asked us about that. It sounds like a great program. And yes, we can provide you these donations or these items from our store that you can go ahead and do that. So I want to tell people, don't become discouraged and don't think you need to have a fat paycheck or a big corporation behind you. All you need to have is a little gumption and get out there and ask and care about what you're advocating for.
Even if they are not a 501c3?
The people that you're getting money from or people that are giving you private donations or people that are giving you, you know, in-kind gifts like the water from the local Publix, or they're giving you, you know what, we have a couple dresses here that you can put on consignment. You know, if you can have them at a silent auction at your event. So the reality is most people out there, most small business owners, most corporations want to help. The reality is most people that say they want to make an impact just need to get into their car or take a walk down the block and just go tell their story to as many business owners, as many corporate people, as many firms as they can. And I think what people will be amazed to find is most people really do have that charitable intention. They're just never really asked in a creative way.
That is the That has definitely inspired me because with, you know, with everything, and it does require, everything requires a balance, you know, and you have to bring the administrative, you have to bring the marketing, you have to bring, you know, the actual activity, and it requires so many different things, the network and the relationships, but what you said definitely comes down to if you don't ask, you will never get.
It is, and if you don't mind, with that great segue, if I can ask, we have funded part of the program with our golf tournament we do every November at the Biltmore Hotel, but we're also having a private fundraiser this year on February 21st from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m. in a private home in Miami Beach. The tickets are $150, and you'll be helping us support the Motivated Youth Program this year. We have a special performance from Pancara. Her website is pancara.com, P-A-N-C-A-R-A.com. She's launching her third album at the house, and she's donated her time, which is wonderful. We also have a fashion show by designer Timotello Corelli, who has also donated his time that evening. The tickets are $150, and you can call the Coral Gables Community Foundation, the Motivated Youth Program. The number is 305-446-9670. And ask for Mia or Loretta, and they'll be able to process your credit card payment over the phone, or you can send them over a check. And we're expecting a couple hundred people at this event. Almost everything has been donated for this event. And it's going to be a chance to go ahead and meet some of the non-for-profit directors we're going to have there. It's going to be a chance to go ahead and just have a good time and a nice cocktail party. And all the proceeds from this event are going to be funding our Motivated Youth Program this year. And again, if I can just get that number from the Coral Gables Community Foundation,
please.
Again, is 305-446-9670. And again, it's a Motivated Youth Program, and you can ask for Mia or Loretta, and please come and join us down there. I think we only have about 100 tickets left. We'd love to have anyone show up, and you'll be able to understand our program and actually meet some of the participants in the program.
Excellent. Now, if youth would also like to attend the program that you do, that you already have organized through the different colleges and the high schools, but for future reference, if youth hear about your program and they want to get involved, who can they contact?
They can contact myself through the Motivated Youth. Again, it's motivatedyouth.org, one word, Motivated Youth. They'll see a contact tab on the bottom there where you can contact me and my staff here at Avinsky and Katz. And also, there's a link to our partners, the University of Miami, their Lead and Serve, and that's on our community partner page. And you can basically just click on that, and we'll put you into the university. And if you're a university student or a high school student or want to get your high school involved with that, the university will be able to kind of, you know, ask you a few questions and see if that's something that's doable and something that maybe can engage you in. And I know that they're actively looking for people to participate in that. And again, it's the University of Miami link that's on Lead Serve on our community partners page on motivatedyouth.org.
Excellent. Now we have 2 minutes to go, and I'm going to ask you this question. If you could counsel with President Obama or his cabinet, what would you like them to know?
Well, I'll leave the finance part out of it for this question. I know that what's going on today in Congress, we've got ourselves in quite a doozy here in this country. But what I have seen President Obama do, and I'm very proud of him, is I know that before his inauguration and during that, he was talking about community involvement. And this is something I can't thank the president for in taking a big initiative to do this. He is going to make part of his administration, he states at this point, that really community involvement needs to be back on the front burner in our mindset. I know he's going to be advocating for this, and what I would say to him is that keep it up. I think that's a wonderful initiative to take, especially talking about the community involvement in people's communities, because everything really starts at home. And I know he's been taking this initiative. I know he had a large luncheon in D.C. with some of the partners that they have there, and I just want to tell him that's a great job and to continue on that mindset, because the more we can have people go ahead and give back to their country in trying times like this, give back to their community, I think we'll all be much better off.
Well, that is greatly said. Now, in closing, for yourself, what would you need for your outreach, or what can you share with our community?
Gosh, again, we would love for you to contact university. Again, if you're involved in high school or if you're involved in any sort of college program or even want to know more about that program or talk to us here at motivatedyouth.org. And again, we just want to press one more time that we are having a large fundraiser, and that's February 21st. And you can get in touch with the Coral Gables Community Foundation at 305-446-9670. And if you'd like to volunteer or do anything else that might be able to help us with the program and the fundraisers we're having this year, we would welcome your sweat equity.
Excellent, excellent. Well, David, it has been a pleasure having you as a guest on Power to Be You and Rise to Win for Our Youth, and I look forward to being able to speak to you further and then just really taking on and reaching even the younger kids and, you know, really impacting, like you said, impacting the grassroots level and sharing, because people, what they need is hope, and they also, a lot of the people who don't believe, they need a little bit of proof, and you've already proven it with 5 years of having this program on. So thank you very much for joining us, and, you know, until we see you soon again.
And thank you very much for giving us the opportunity, and what you do is an amazing act in the community as well. So thank you, Sandra.
You're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, we have completed our program, and this has been a presentation with Power to Be You and Rise to Win for Our Youth. And like you heard David, it is about getting involved with our community, take action, go to his webpage, and really support and join and bring your sweat equity as well as your purpose, your mission, and your vision to make a difference for our youth. Thank you. It's Sandra Bueno signing off.